whiskey?
I don't know, because we're recording in the middle of the workday on a Monday. Although I guess I have off today. You have off? Are you off?
Yeah.
Happy Donald Trump Day to you too. Right for my president.
Okay. Well, this is also for the first time ever going to be a video podcast.
You know, you told me that, and I was thinking that I should prepare myself, this face, but I didn't do it. I just came back from the gym.
Yeah, you turned the side of your head, and I was like, why does the back of his hair look like that? And I was like, oh, because he didn't do anything to it.
I did nothing. I did nothing to prepare myself. Very sweaty right now. That's There's fine. Sweat in places that I cannot describe. No, is the entire thing going to be video?
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Oh, God. I just
returned. People get to see my little Brucey Bruce thing back here. Sorry for interrupting you.
Anyway, I'm back from Los Angeles, back from my travels. And I had a good time.
That's good.
Yeah.
I have never been to Los Angeles. Tell me about your trip.
Okay. Well, one of the most amazing things is, and this is going to sound so stupid. Like, it sounds stupid even in my head. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm going to say this out loud. But one of the most amazing things is, like, you know, it was like 12 degrees on Thursday morning when I left New Jersey. And then I got to LA and I was just like walking around in my friend Allie's neighborhood without a jacket on, going to get an iced coffee. I was like, wow, what is weather?
That is something I think about when I go someplace warmer. I'm like, you know, why don't we just live like this all the time? We have the ability to live like this all the time.
But we got the quakes over there, so we don't want the earthquakes.
I'm saying it doesn't have to be LA. We can live in a warmer climate and probably for cheaper. Definitely cheaper than New Jersey.
But yeah, like, but then you got the guns. You got the guns. You got the lack of reproductive health care. It's a lot, you know?
I could take it or leave it on both of those, honestly.
Well, you also, you're a man, so like, whatever. Oh, what does it matter to you?
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Anyway, it was great. I did stay in downtown Los Angeles, and 10 out of 10, do not recommend staying in downtown Los Angeles. It is not nice.
Now, how is it not nice? Is it too touristy?
Oh, no. I would say it's the opposite of that. It's like a... I'd say our friend Christina Ariel, she called it like Hooverville. Like, it's like sad.
Oh, so there's what do they call them? Unhoused people?
The unhoused people is one thing, but then there's also like just like the boarded up businesses. And it just like the hotel that I stayed at was really, really nice. It was very close to the Palace Theater, which is where the Watch What Crappens event was. And so... that was really cool. Like, it was easy to walk to and all that kind of stuff. But then yesterday we went to West Hollywood to hit up all of the Bravo joints, right?
Yeah.
All of the Lisa Vanderpump spaces. I was like, West Hollywood is so nice. I was like, why didn't I stay here? Because I think in my mind, I don't know why I thought it wasn't going to be as nice. But yeah. So, but the weather was great. The food is fun and so good. I met so many amazing people and I had so much fun at all of the events. I know are not a Vanderpump Rules guy, but you did watch from the beginning.
Yeah, sizable amount of the show.
Sizable amount. And I got to meet none other than Sheena Shea herself.
Oh, did you say, hey Sheena, can we go talk for a second? I don't get it, Sheena.
Sheena, what the hell, dude? No. I got to meet her and she was really, really sweet. And she was just like exactly who you think she's going to be. Like, oh, by the way, can you hear that?
No.
Okay. The cleaning crew's here, so they're vacuuming.
Sorry to interrupt you, but you go to LA and all of a sudden you have a cleaning crew. This is who you are now. You meet Sheena once, and then we got people coming over. Okay. All right.
They've been coming over for like 6 years. so I was backstage at the Watcher Crappin's annual Crappy Awards, and I got to go backstage because I just moseyed on up to Christina Ariel, because I guess I'm just that person. I was like, yeah, I'll go with you, Christina. And I just went back into spaces where I don't think I belong, but I was back there, and it was really cool. And Ben and Ronnie were really, really sweet. And then Sheena walked in with her entourage, and she did the most Sheena thing ever. She came with like a selfie stick and a vlogging camera. And then she just like went into the corner and she was recording a vlog. But one of her people was also holding a light up for good lighting. And I was just like, this is amazing. This is exactly who I thought she was going to be. And then I went up to her and I said, Sheena, listen, because it was like right before we were all had to go get to our seats. I was like, listen, I know we got to go, but I just want to tell you, I have been a Sheena defender since day one. Right. Because I have, because I'm like, yeah. She is a well-meaning, sweet dodo bird. And she held my hands and she said, thank you. We need more people like you. And she was so sincere. I was just like, what a sweet person.
So, you know, as you were telling the story, I was like, Sheena has an entourage? How many people does Sheena need in her entourage, right? Like, you don't realize, like, how big these people are. They're actually celebrities, though, right? And, like, it's, yes, of course, they're not as big as movie stars or whatever. But, like, it makes sense that she has an entourage because all of her life is on social media, right? And you need to maintain that and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, and let's not forget, the biggest scandal of the year was Scandoval, and it went beyond Bravo, and she was one of the key players in this, because the night that Scandoval broke, Ariana and Tom had this whole thing go down in Los Angeles at Tom Tom, and then Sheena was on Watch What Happens Live with Rachel on the show, and then right in the backstage of Watch What Happens Live in the green room is where Sheena got the text messages from Ariana saying what Raquel had been doing with Tom, and then there was a whole altercation. So like, Sheena's a key player in this, and she's a big deal.
Yeah, she's a big deal. I mean, for my money, I think it's Sheena and Malala as the two biggest social activists in the world right now.
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say this about Sheena.
Yeah.
I've always found her very attractive.
Oh, so gorgeous. Attractive. Gorgeous. Looks like a little, like, I would say that Sheena looks like a little fairy princess. Like a little, like, she's got like a Tinkerbell quality to her. And she's pint size.
And I don't know what her relationship status is now. I don't know which husband she's on or whatever. Mm-hmm, but exactly. I appreciated the fact that her husband, I don't know which one it was, but he was a little chubby. I like that. Oh,
no, we don't like that.
He's a bad guy?
No, he's not a great guy. No. Okay, sorry. Her current, I want you to Google it. Google Sheena Shea husband Brock. And I want you to look at this man. And I want you to give me your reaction to Brock. I don't know. I forgot what his last name is. I just call him Brock. He's a former football player.
Yeah, that looks exactly like a Brock. Yeah. Like, if you type out the word Brock, that is the image that you get.
He's also Australian. And yeah, so he's just like, exactly. Sheena's living her best life. She's got a little baby named Summer Moon. Mm-hmm. So cute. So that was great. And the Crappies were amazing. And shout out to all the amazing people that I met. But Raheela, I had to tell you something. So one of our listeners came up to us. Which is really great. Our listener, Miriam, and her husband. I'm sorry, Miriam, I don't remember your husband's name. But I have a feeling he was just there. Miriam came out to us, and she's really sweet, and she's emailed us a couple of times. And Miriam also is not a person on social media, but she is on LinkedIn, like you. And she came up to me, and it was right at the end of the Crappies, and she gave me a big hug. She was like, I love you so much, and I just wanted to tell you, my husband and I are also huge 49ers fans, so we love Raheel, and we love that he is a 49ers fan, and we were actually at the Super Bowl, and we were at the Super Bowl, and we brought for you and Raheel rally towels from the fucking
Super Bowl. Oh my God! That's amazing! Miriam!
Yes!
nameless husband. Thank you so much.
Yes. How cool is this?
That's amazing. I started crying. I have goosebumps right now.
I know.
I'm so excited. Wait, I know. Are you gonna keep the one for you too? You're not really afforded. Are you gonna hang it up? You know, I'm gonna redo the basement here.
I know.
So it's this is gonna go up.
It's gonna get framed.
Oh, it's gonna get framed.
No, I have plans for this. I've got a whole idea. Yeah.
Okay.
I've got a whole idea. I'm gonna frame one, and I think the other one I'm gonna turn into a pair of shorts for you. I'm just kidding. Isn't that so nice?
That's the nicest thing anybody has ever done for me.
Literally.
Saying something. It's probably because I'm thinking that Miriam, you know, the cheapest tickets at the Super Bowl were $5,000.
Yeah. Right. So you're like, Miriam, how long have you been married? Yeah. Because.
And how serious are we about this relationship? We don't even know the guy's name.
He was so sweet.
His name's probably Block.
No! His name is Block. Oh. Block. Yeah.
Shout out to Miriam's husband. And you know what? We're going to get them next year, Miriam and her husband.
What?
The 49ers.
Oh, I thought I was like, what are we going to get them? Or are we going to kill them? What's going on? I was so confused.
What can we get Miriam and her husband as a thank you? What would they like? From New Jersey.
Oh.
We'll send them, what do they call them? Pizza fries. Disco fries.
Disco fries. You want some cold disco fries? How about
vacuum sealed.
Using one of those like vacuum sealed bags.
Yeah.
You put in like the kitchen. I don't know. Like, what would anybody even give from New Jersey? Mob ties? What? I don't know.
You know, no, so I can now. I don't like to advertise this stuff, but as a Sopranos fan, and only as a Sopranos fan, I have visited certain Sopranos locations, maybe where Tony Soprano worked out of. There is some memorabilia. If Miriam and her husband are Sopranos fans, I can get them bada bing stuff.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I will make the sacrifice to go to a gentleman's establishment.
I know.
And I'll have to pretend like that's not the only thing I'm there for. So I'm going to have to mingle with, you know, the people there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was amazing.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Miriam.
Yeah. And then I start crying. She started crying. It was a whole thing. And then I was out, like we went to the bars afterwards, like with a bunch of people and Ben and Ronnie and stuff. And Nia Renee Hill, who is Bill Burr's wife, who I was hanging out with.
Oh, what was that like?
Amazing. She's so nice. She's so nice. She's incredibly gorgeous and just like so sweet and like watches Housewives with a anthropological view. And so we were like having like a whole discussion about how Housewives is actually an insight into like managing female friendships and different things when you have different priorities. Like, yeah. This is exactly what my podcast is about.
I don't know Nia's history with the Housewives or reality TV. Mm-hmm. I will say I'm a big fan of hers. Mm-hmm. You know, she was in the news recently, like the last month and a half.
Really?
Because she was at a UFC event with Bill Burr.
Mm-hmm.
And stupid, dumb fucking Donald Trump came in, right? Uh-huh. So she was in the back and she gave him the double bird.
Oh my God. It was amazing. Yeah.
She's the greatest, right? So all of these fucking like baby ass conservatives got all turned up about it because they're like, oh, you can't do that. It's so disrespectful, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Jackasses. Yeah. Triggered assholes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you, Nia.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't know that about her.
Yeah. She's
I wish
the best.
I knew. I know. Yeah. I would have, I was like, I would have given her a double finger, but then she would be like, why are you doing this? I'd be like, because I want to be like you. And it would be a big mess. Anyway, I'm glad I didn't know that because I wouldn't have known how to handle the interaction. You don't know him because you're not a Bravo podcast person, but are you familiar with Danny Pellegrino?
No, is he the water person? Is he Danny Pellegrino of Pellegrino?
Heir of the Pellegrino family. No, he's a very amazing pop culture and like Bravo podcaster and he's amazing. He's been on like the Drew Barrymore show. He's a huge deal. Okay,
let me look him up. Some of these people I just know by face.
His content is like exactly the dumb stuff that like your brain and my brain store, because we are like tied to the pop culture weird things from the 90s. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's exactly what like Danny's foundation is. He loves to talk about Rosie O'Donnell and her koosh balls, and I was like, Danny, that's my entire life. That's like a foundational moment of my life, is coming home from school and watching the Rosie O'Donnell show every single day with you.
How great was the Rosie show? Remember how good that show was?
It was so good. It was
just
good.
Such a nice time. Like, all these moms, they're just happy. Everybody's just happy. It was like a nice balance, because we used to watch Oprah with our mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Rosie, I think Rosie started coming on before. And just, it was like a two-hour power pack of just a great time.
Yeah,
just
and Rosie nice. Made me laugh. Like, she made me laugh so hard. And she never took herself too seriously. No. One time I remember she had a zit, and I'll never forget this. She had a zit, and she said, my makeup person really tried to cover it up, but it's not working, and I keep staring at it. So then she took a Sharpie, and she colored it in live. I was just like, this is so
remember how much she loved Tom Cruise? It was great. The interview.
It was
interview.
So good. It yeah. was so good. Anyway, so yeah, I met Danny. That was really nice. I met a whole bunch of other podcasters, and it was really cool. It was incredible. A special shout out to Shannon Anthony, who was the person who actually helped me and Arthi set up this whole trip. So it was fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Shannon.
Yeah. I did go to Sir.
What was that like?
I would describe Sir as a place that people should not go to during the daytime. I would describe it as like a rainforest cafe meets like a fortune teller's, like a small fortune teller's like outpost above an apartment building meets like a Home Goods. Meets like maybe a yoga studio.
This sounds like the most unpleasant thing to see in sunlight that I can imagine. Just everything is just, you can see like the artifice and everything, right?
Okay. And also like, add on to that, like a Planet Hollywood experience, because the TVs, yeah. the TVs the, have
yeah.
the show playing all the time. Right.
It's just become like a relic. Like, I think the last thing that anybody that goes to Sir is thinking about is the food and beverages, right?
No.
Or the service. Yeah.
No.
They're just there for the pictures.
No. They're there for the pictures. I didn't get to eat the food because I did have to leave our group and I had to go catch my flight, because I get travel anxiety now. I can't just dilly-dally before the flight. I would rather stay at the airport for like an hour and a half. But so I didn't get to order the food, but I've had the food before. Lisa Vanderpump's Cuisine at the Vanderpump Gardens in Vegas. I had mm-hmm. it there. I've tried Vanderpump Rosé also in Vegas. Not great. But the other thing I noticed about Sir is like, it's kind of dirty. like everything has like a, because it's all wood furniture. Mm-hmm. And so everything has sort of like a coating, everything needs like a good scrub down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's like the vibe. But like, I think that you could overlook that in then at nighttime, but you cannot overlook that in the daytime. And also
yeah, exactly.
It's very small. So all of those like big Sir parties we've seen like on the show, where like everyone's crammed in front of like DJ James Kennedy while he's like wiggy wiggying on his like little turntable that the Watchmen Crappens guy say is placed in front of a pizza oven. Like, it is, it's so small and there's a lot of plants. It was just, I was very jarred, but especially the outside. Like, the Sir sign is pink, but it's like a dull pink, like a pink that needs like a power wash, you know?
You know, I am depressed just hearing about this.
Yeah, it was it's a just, sexy, no. unique trash can. That's what
no,
it was.
No. Were you, while you were there, were you like, oh my God, that's where this happened, that's where this happened? Like, were you looking at the locations and were you like, oh my God, this is where Tom cheated on?
I mean,
is where the one person vomited. This
no,
is where.
No. You know, if I had gotten access to the Sir back alley, I probably would feel that way, but I didn't get to go look at the Sir back alley.
Yeah.
So that was that. But yeah, it was a great time. I will definitely be going back to Los Angeles in April with my family and my husband I'm looking forward to that. Because
and your cleaning crew, you're gonna bring your cleaning crew with you so to clean up after you and your messy ass kids. Just take care of that.
I don't know why you're so mad that I have a cleaning team come to my house every 2 weeks. It's called growing up, okay?
Do it yourself.
Okay, I mean, I could say the same thing to you, okay?
That's true. Or just don't do it.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, you know, how are you doing post? Now it's been 2 weeks since, you know.
2 weeks. It's been 8 days.
Has it been 8 days since the Super Bowl ended? Okay. Yeah. Wow, feels a lot longer. How you doing?
I met, by the way,
a lot of Bay Area people, and I told them all about your love for the 49ers, and they were like, yes, we're also depressed.
Very sad.
Yeah.
It's because of how close we were, and because of how good the team is.
When you said, you know, how close we were, I thought you meant like you and the 49ers were like personally very close.
Both. I mean, that both of them.
My friend I met, Danielle, she is from the Bay Area, and she is a former Mormon. And her grandfather.
She's a foreman?
Anyway, her grandfather was like a temple elder. And so she said that he was like Steve Young's advisor type person, like his like temple guide. Yeah. And so he had a relationship with Steve Young. And so she said when she was growing up, she had no choice but to be a 49ers fan because her grandfather would bring all this stuff that like Steve Young would like give him, like merch and all this kind of stuff. So she's like, and he was Mormon. So that was a really big deal. And she's like, very problematic, but it's fine. She's like, but yeah, she's so I was like, yes, my brother also big Steve Young fan.
She got any memorabilia she wants to get rid of, or
real? You just got rally towels.
I'm just saying, listen, if it's on the table and she wants to get rid of some of those problematic memories, I will gladly take the problematic stuff on my own head, and I will deal with that. It's gonna be really tough for me, but I can do
anyway.
Anyway, yeah, you know, it's been a week and a half. I'm distracting myself with other sports. The All-Star Game weekend was this past weekend. I watched with your husband and your kids.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because they came over. We watched the NBA dunk contest. Well, your husband kept trying to get your kids into it. He's like, hey, look, another dunk is coming up. They didn't care.
They don't care. It's very sad.
Aiden was just like, no, I'm playing Geometry Dash. Yeah. Stop bothering me.
That's
Yeah, but we watched that together. That was fun. Did you watch the 3-point contest between Steph and Sabrina Ionescu?
I did not do any sports. What are you talking about? Yeah,
what am I asking you?
What are you asking me?
It was a big deal because it was, you know, they have a regular 3-point contest. So they had that. Dame Lillard won. But Steph Curry did a one-on-one challenge with Sabrina Ionescu, who is the WNBA 3-point champion. Sabrina Ionescu last year at the WNBA All-Star game, she set the record for most points in a 3-point contest, men's or women's.
Yeah.
Right. So this year they had just a one-on-one, and there was like some controversy about it before because they were like, initially they were thinking of having her shoot from the WNBA line, which is, you know, a little bit shorter than the NBA line. And then they're like, well, it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I always wanted to shoot from the NBA line. Like, I didn't tell you to say it.
I thought the controversy was going to be, they were going to be like, put her back in the kitchen.
So she did it and she was amazing. Like, it was very close. So Steph ended up winning 29-26. But the NBA 3-point contest winner, which was Dame Lillard, also had 26. So she was pretty much just as good as the men.
So oh, wow. Amazing. Yeah. So wait, she and Steph Curry went
one-on-one instead.
One-on-one.
Oh, but it was very close. It was 29-26. Oh, but it was really, like, when it first started off, she hit like six in a row and we're like, oh shit.
God.
I think in that moment, because I was like doing like, you know, live messaging with our basketball group, I said, uh-oh.
Oh!
Which I think tells me that I am still, you know,
you've got a little bit of unlearning to do.
I got a little misogyny in me. I was like, I'm rooting for Steph. And I even like Steph.
Yeah. So. Oh, man.
But it was really cool. Next year, I think they're going to do it bigger.
All right, great. You want to talk about Traitors?
Of course.
Oh my god, so good. This is one episode you watched before me because I was in my travels.
Mm-hmm. And we also had opposite viewing experiences. I didn't know that you watched this on TV.
Okay. Hotel Perla in downtown LA, beautiful hotel. The food is so good there, right? Very, very nice, centrally located, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. But their television just had cable. They didn't have the ability for me to even like connect my phone or like
you couldn't stream?
There was no Netflix.
What?
There was nothing. I was like, what? God. Listen, I don't want to be one of those people that's like, I have a cleaning crew come to my house. Yeah. Oh, I need blah. But like, you don't have streaming on your television? Cable? Live TV? What?
The TV Guide channel?
Yeah, pretty much. I ended up watching My Lottery Dream Home on HGTV. Have you ever watched it?
I've watched it a couple of times. Yeah, it is ridiculous.
The host of it is ridiculous. He is like he has a Tom Sandoval energy to him, but he's I think a good human. He is always dressed in a way that is very different than the people who are buying their lottery dream home, because the people that are buying their lottery dream home are regular people who have won the lottery. And he was the one episode I watched. He was wearing a pink fur coat and like 17 pink bobble necklaces and cargo pants with pink Crocs. I was like,
I'm trying to imagine that in my head and I can't. I don't know if I want to see this person.
Well, if you go over to my Twitter, you're going to be able to see it because I tweeted a picture. Anyway, so I watched Traitors on my phone and I was like, I don't like this.
Now, I have, up until this episode, I have always watched Traitors on my phone, right? Because while I do have the ability to stream things, I just don't. It's just easier for me to watch stuff in bed. So, now, as you may recall, I bought a TV to watch the Super Bowl. And then the TV ended up not working. Which was the first night. Which is, you know what, Miriam and her husband, I apologize because I think that was me. That was me. That's the reason why we didn't convert on that third and fourth. Anyways, so they exchanged the TV on Thursday. So I had a brand new TV and I was just setting it up. And so the TV allows me to download apps and sign into it or whatever. And I knew that I needed Peacock because Oppenheimer was debuting on Friday, which I watched, by the way. We can probably not talk about that, but it was amazing. anyway, so I was like, oh, I know I want to get Peacock.
Was
so
it I downloaded a bomb?
It. How do I leave this meeting? So I was like, I need to download the cock.
I needs me the cock.
Right. So I downloaded the cock. And then on Thursday night, I was going to start my Traitors watch. And I was like, wait, I got the cock on the TV. Right. And let me tell you something. I can't believe I have not been watching this. Yes. Show is like a feast for your eyes. Yes. Like the outfits and the colors, the landscape. Right. Yes. But I think the thing that popped, like the racism really pops too. Yes. Just see that in 75 inch crystal clear HD, you're like, oh, that's racism.
yes. Oh, I love the show so much. By the way, speaking of the cock, do you know that Paramount and Peacock are making a joint service?
I am very excited about this. So your husband sent me something about that.
Okay.
Is this an air? You have an air pop-up? All right.
Anyways. All right, now
I had an air pop-up. Oh, okay. Yes, I'm very excited. And then speaking about that, I have some sort of free trial. So for the last 4 days, I've been watching TC movies to fall asleep.
TC movies?
Yeah. I watched Top Gun Maverick. Then I watched 3 Mission Impossibles.
Oh my God. The other day, because the kids watch, did Aiden, I'm sure you know this. So the kids, Fahad was watching the last one. Dead Reckoning, whatever. Yes. Yeah. He was watching it. This is right before I left for LA. And he was watching it, and the kids like kind of got into it because when it's on, they're like, you know, watching in and out. So Noah really got into it. And then Aiden loves the music from it. And then he mm-hmm. listened to the Limp Bizkit version of the Mission Impossible song.
He
and
learned
then
he
learned it on the guitar, which was so cool. So that was one thing. But then like a couple of, it's like a day or two later, I was like driving Noah to school, then driving the kids to school. And Noah goes, "Mama, did you know that there's a movie where Ethan... where Ethan is in Dubai and he needs to climb the tallest building, the Burj Khalifa?" I was like, Ethan?
Yeah. His
first name basis. So yeah, so you got yourself a little TC head now too.
Oh, we're all going to go watch Dead Reckoning Part 2 together when it comes out in 2025.
Yeah, because he was pissed that he mm-hmm. went to go see, Fahd went to go see it with you and he didn't invite you. And I was like, okay, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Anyway, but yes, back to Traitors. I do think that it is so gorgeous. It's so nicely shot. But also I think that the, like, do you, okay, I know that I'm an idiot for thinking that most of these are not set pieces, but can you see how maybe I would think that it wasn't a set piece?
No, it's more obvious than ever. Especially like the Traitors room, whatever you call that.
The turret.
The turret, yeah. You're like, come on, man. It's like cables hanging from the back.
No, there's like a boom mic floating in the shot. Anyway, this episode of Traitors, we opened with finding out that Burgalicious is no longer with us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was a smart move? I thought that was a smart move because I was thinking this. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about how when Dan was banished, Bergie said, if Phaedra's a traitor, she would keep me alive a lot longer because I trust her. And so why would she kill me? And so I was like, aha, Phaedra killed Bergie because of what he said, which is so smart. Like, Phaedra's so fucking smart.
The best.
Yeah.
The best.
Yeah. And then it's just like, you know, we obviously pointed out the sexual tension between Peter and Parvati before, mm-hmm. but it really came out this episode.
Yeah, this one, they were ready in that one. It was like a scene from The Bachelor.
Yeah.
It was just like, just go for it.
Yeah.
I'll say this, with Bergie leaving, mm-hmm. And, you know, throughout this episode, who I'm rooting for has completely changed, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Bergie was kind of the heart and soul of that group. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And even though Peter takes the lead, he's like the lead guy or whatever, Peter without Bergie is not somebody that I'd love to root for. No. I really, really changed up. First of all, did you notice the necklace? Did it annoy you?
I did notice the necklace. It annoyed me.
It's so annoying. Yeah.
Yeah. Because all now Peter has left with is fucking Kevin. Ugh.
Also, Kevin, I know you got upset at me last time for saying this, but he is so totally the guy from The Good Place.
He is now, he is, especially, I
Jason,
know.
Jason, he's a sweet moron.
Yeah. He still, to this day, keeps calling her Poverty. Like, yeah. No matter what. Like, so that's not her name. Now, I do want to say that we did mention that there's a sexual tension between Parvati and Peter, but I did find out from listeners that Parvati is a queer woman. And she is. Yeah. She came out a few months ago. And she's in relationship with a beautiful queer woman.
So. Well, that's beautiful. I know she was married to a dude, I thought, and she has a kid, right? I think that was part of her thing. She recently got divorced, so good for you, Parvati. I think she may be sexually fluid. You know who had a great thing to say about Parvati? Of course, mm-hmm. Kate is such a fucking genius. She goes, you remember when she was talking about that yoga voice?
Yeah, and she's like, so smart.
It's the point of that voice is to make you forget that you're in hell. And that is exactly who Parvati is.
Yes.
Fucking Kate. Oh. She's so great.
She's so good. Oh, she's the best. This mission that they have in the woods, it's essentially an escape room. Now, Raheel, you mm-hmm. went to an escape room on Friday. Was creepy Dr. Will from Big Brother there?
By the way. No, he was not there. By the way.
Yeah.
No, we're not supposed to talk about people's faces, especially now that apparently there's going to be a video pod.
Also because my face is frozen, but yeah.
Yeah. But like, what is going on with that guy's face? It's like caked up. what is going on? Because I again, we're not Big Brother people. Mm-hmm. I've heard of Dr. Will. No, he's supposed to be some sort of heartthrob or something. But that
heartthrob?
Yeah. I think it was 20 years ago when he first came out or whatever. But he looked like, who's a guy? Who's a guy from that, who's the actor? Who's in Justified? Timothy Oliphant.
Yeah, yeah.
He looked like, you know, great value Timothy Oliphant.
Acme Timothy Acme. Oliphant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Because I thought initially it was Timothy Oliphant. And then yeah. I was like, no, who is this man? Also, yeah. He looks like an embalmed Timothy Oliphant.
Yes, that's the thing. And what is that? That's just plastic surgery and like years and years of chemical peels, right? That's what happens.
Yeah, like why does his skin look like that? Why does it look like it's terrifying.
Oh yeah, also because he wasn't really talking much. He was just like moving his head. It was it felt like a doll.
Yeah.
It was... Poor Dr. I mean, Will.
I mean it did fit because it was a creepy ass mission.
Extremely, extremely, yes. Yeah. Scary. By the way, well, you and I. No, Haggis, get me the fuck out of there.
No, I'm not a bugs girl. You're not going to get me to stay in a place with bugs. Not because I'm scared of bugs. Like, I'm not scared of bugs. I just, like, I don't like dirty stuff. I don't like that stuff.
I think for me, because, like, I'm okay getting dirty. I'm okay being in the woods. I did that Spartan race once, okay, which basically. Honestly, I'm just saying. Yeah. I haven't met
Miriam, are you hours. Listening?
Leave block.
Mr. Miriam, I'm so sorry.
Mr. I bet you are the sweetest person.
He's so sweet. Yes.
All right. Sorry. Never again. Anyways, I'm okay getting dirty. I'm okay with the woods. I'm okay with mud. I don't fuck with anything sentient. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bugs, ants, whatever. They have feelings. I feel bad about crushing them. They're just gross. I don't want anything like climbing. No.
No. And then the little like the hairless rats and stuff.
Yeah, no, why?
No.
Why?
No. Of course, Trishelle is like, I won Fear Factor. And I was like, have you been on every single reality TV show? Like, is this what you do?
Well, yes. That is what she does. By the way, are we going to talk about Trishelle's racism later? Or are we going to talk
about it? Yeah, I think we should talk about it later. Because I want to focus on this escape room. Now, do you think that I would forget that? Yes, we would be haggis about the bugs and the creepy crawlies. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I'm not interested in any of that. I think Kate is so smart where she was like, I'm not standing here because I see the trapdoor and they're going to drop bugs on me and I'm good. And another thing Kate does, she just found like a jacket or a cardigan. She's like, I'm going to wrap myself around She's so smart. But how was your escape room experience? I've never done an escape room.
This is the first time I've done an escape room. It was, the theme of it was something with like Salem witches or whatever.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it was actually scary. Now, we didn't complete it in time.
You were trapped.
We were trapped. But we were close. But we were also close because they gave us a lot of hints. Oh. You know, an escape room, at least the one that I went to, is, I think what got me is that it's actually dumber than you think it is. You know what I mean? Like, there's certain things, like, I was trying to, like, make all of these connections or something. There's, like, biblical verses on something. And then we had a note that had, like, a poem with, like, that mentioned, like, three different women. Mm. And they kept saying whore. Like, whore and whatever. And one of the rooms had like this biblical verse about Mary Magdalene. And I was like, oh, that's got to be connected because of the whore. No, it was like completely different. It's because there were three dolls and we were just supposed to match the three dolls. So I overthought it. I want to do it again because it would be interesting.
Do you think I would do well in an escape room?
I think so. But I think you'd also take lead. I think.
I know.
I don't know how open you would be to suggestions.
Even and you then, saying this right now, you're like, I don't know if I should be even.
I'm scared right now mentioning it. Yeah. I think, and then people would just stop me, like, contributing. They'd be like, oh, you know what? If we die, at least it's not my fault.
And then they would totally blame me, like, happily, because they'd be like, she's so fucking annoying. We lost because of her. Oh, I'm not a team player, honestly.
And then they'd hug you.
Talk to me.
But I think you and I, just the two of us, I think we could do well.
Well, because you would let me take the lead and then I would just get us out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. I think I know how to, like, get suggestions in under the wire when you don't notice. And then you think it's your idea.
You know who would do really poorly in an escape room?
Who?
My husband.
You get overwhelmed?
Overwhelmed and then checked out. And annoyed. And, like, I would be annoyed at him. And I would just be like, forget this. We're done. We're done here. And then that would be it. He would not do well. Now, the weird thing is that because he's good at puzzles, mm-hmm. But he, like, because he does, he's like a Legend of Zelda head. He's been playing Zelda since he was, like, a wee baby. And so he loves Zelda. He loves all, like, the puzzles and all the stuff that's, like, involved in all of that. So I feel like he would be good at it in theory. But also with real puzzles, I did a real puzzle over winter break and I obviously had a strategy. You take all the pieces at like the same colors and everything. And he said to me, I can't believe that you had a whole strategy. I was very impressed by you. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I would have just like grabbed the piece and seen where it fit. I was like, what?
It'd take forever.
So, yeah. So I don't know. I do want to do an escape room.
We should go. Me, yeah. You, Miriam.
Block. Sheena. Sheena. Danielle, if she brings the merch from her grandfather.
That's Steve true. Young Steve Young.
Danny Pellegrino, the heir of the Pellegrino.
Exactly.
Anyway. So this escape room thing, it ends hilariously with CT. Oh, God. So they're supposed to be getting these gold coins all over and then whatever. And CT's the last guy to go out and he's supposed to get a gold coin. And he's like, I didn't get it. And he's like, oh, there's a snake in my pants. And he whips out the gold coin from his pants. And I was like, oh, CT.
So very charming to you. So, you know, all the CT talk that we've been doing, and to be fair, I love CT on this show also. Mm-hmm, he's probably one of my favorite people. I was like, you know what? Maybe I gave old CT too tough a time. So this past week, I've been going back and watching challenges, like challenge clips. CT was a terrible person.
He was a dick.
Just the worst.
So that's the thing with CT is like CT, the reason why everybody loves him is because he was a dog shit human being. And then he like really has turned the page on his life.
Yeah.
Now you remember the relationship with him and DM, right?
Yeah, it's very sad.
It's so sad. And like we, you know, even though they weren't together, he was on her at her deathbed when she passed away. He's a sweet Neanderthal. That's what he is. That's why we love him.
And you know, I don't know if it's like revisionist history or whatever, but when I'm watching these clips and he's being an absolute animal and just being a dick to everybody.
Yeah.
I'm like, I see the hurt. I see the hurt. Let me take care of you, CT.
Oh my God, you are every woman ever who sees a toxic guy. Yeah. I could fix him.
I feel like I could fix ET.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway. I like the fact that Alan, this episode, finally was like, hey, so you guys got to win some money because you haven't really been winning a lot and we're just barely at $100,000. So... Yeah.
Let's get on it.
And then they're back at the house at the castle and everybody's doing their little whisper, blah, 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 all this stuff. And Parvati has a little chat with John.
Yeah.
And she's pulling out the waterworks. Ooh. It was good. But
it was real good.
Yeah.
Now, I think I imagine, you know, myself being in John's spot in that situation, and we'll get to, I don't want to do a spoiler because it's going to come up during the roundtable part, right? But I was just thinking, if Parvati pulled out with me, I'd believe her.
Oh, 100%. You know, yeah,
the I think the most dangerous thing in the world, like the most dangerous predator, is probably a manipulative woman to me, because I'm looking to be manipulated, right?
Okay. Yeah,
but like a white woman who is lying and crying to you, that's an apex predator. Like, that is something I cannot
No, that is an apex predator. You're that's an apex predator. Absolutely right. Yeah.
Because, yeah. You remember the Americans?
Yes.
So, like, I used to think, like, if Elizabeth, mm-hmm. what's her name? Carrie Russell. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, in all those scenes when she, like, seduces somebody at, like, the bar. Mm-hmm. And then they show them, like, the next scene is them always, like, doing it in the hotel room or whatever.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even make it to the hotel room. I'd be like, I know I'm being manipulated. Here's my security key. Go for it. My social security. This won't come up. My imaginary friend's name was Bashash. It's not going to come up, but just in case you need it. That's who I am. I'm very, like, you know.
Our childhood phone number. Our childhood phone number was 4414244. It's fine. Here we go.
May or may not need it. I just don't want, you to, you know, not have it in case you need it. Dusty Danya.
No, yes, but here's the thing. There's two kinds of apex predator. There's two kinds of white ladies who cry. You got Parvati, who's like really doing, really laying it on thick because she's got that amazing, soft yoga voice, right?
Yep.
And then you have somebody like fucking Trishel, who Phaedra later on calls frantic, because that's the best way to describe her. She's fucking frantic. And it's so funny because this episode, she said it, but somebody had brought it up on Twitter, is that Trishel is a poker player. So they're like, that's another reason why she's really good at this game, because she reads people's faces well. And I was like, are we going to again pretend like she didn't get peppermint out with like the most absurd facial readings ever?
Yep.
Ugh.
I don't know if I'm using this phrase correctly because I'm an old person, but as the kids say, Trishel is giving. She is giving department store clerk that follows around like African American teenagers. She's just like, I know, I see it. With her stupid notebook. I was like, you know what, Trishel, let's look in that notebook. I'm sure there are a couple of categories in there that maybe Phaedra and Peppermint fall into.
And maybe even Sheree. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Think? What do you
think? I
don't know.
Sandra, maybe. I don't know.
She's on the cusp because she could be passing, but I mean, whatever. I know. I know that notebook. I was like, and then she was like, I'm going to burn my notebook. I was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't.
Exactly.
So they get to the banishment, and this is when Trishel has already been telling people that she thinks it's Phaedra. Now, what's funny here is, yes, Trishel is a problematic person, right? But I think the funniest thing about being a viewer of the show and rooting for the traitors is that we're like, Trishel is a racist for thinking that it's Phaedra, but she's also not wrong.
She's also right. Listen, 1 out of 10 times racism is going to work out for you, all right? It's just the way it goes. Sometimes it's just right.
I'm like, how dare this Karen walk around, blah, 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 all this stuff. And then I'm like, but she's wrong.
She's also right on, like,
100% right.
And the things that she's saying about Phaedra are also true. Like, yes.
Oh, true. I think she's so smart about the Dan thing. Now, I did think it was funny that she was like, oh, Phaedra has no reaction when people are murdered. And she's too serene. And that is when Phaedra says, well, I'm not frantic like you.
The best.
So good. So good. And Trishel just goes, yeah, well.
Yeah.
But you know, now it's Phaedra versus Parvati, who they're basically going to vote for. And what did you think about Peter now switching over to the Phaedra?
Extremely annoyed. Mm-hmm. Extremely annoyed. And this is where now, like, I think what I realized was I was team faithful. Mm-hmm. Definitely until fucking Dan was around.
Yeah.
Now we got rid of Dan. And then I was thinking, well, Parvati also kind of annoys me a little bit, mm-hmm. but I respect the fuck out of her.
Yeah.
That lady's a great player. And then I just love Phaedra.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Peter's about face. I'm just annoyed. I want him out. And you know, I think even like he's obviously faithful to everybody, right? But I think like this move should get him voted out. Like, and also it for even the faithful, it's because they have to split the $102,000, right?
There's so many people.
Exactly. So like, if I'm a faithful, do I really want to be sharing that money with Peter if I have to? No. Nah. Yeah. Also, like, Trishel, do I want to share that money with Trishel? You know that money is going to go to, like, Donald Trump's legal defense fund. Like, there's no reason.
She's going to be like, let me buy those shoes, those gold shoes.
Exactly.
So Kevin rolls into the banishment table with just the tightest shirt in the world, nipples really exposed.
Kevin is very good looking, by the way.
He's very handsome. Yes.
He's beautiful moron.
The dumbest, most gorgeous dummy. So at the banishment table, we are wondering what John's going to do because John did get chatted up by Parvati. And, you know, this man really has a way with words.
You go in that moment, you go, this is why John's here. This is not only this is why John's here, but this is why he was Speaker of the House or whatever. The man can speak. Also, completely saw right through Poverty's bullshit. Again, and something I would not have picked up, but
I know.
This is the reason why he's like a professional politician. And I would get like red sparrowed, like those Russian ladies or whatever. This is I was like, God, that scene was amazing.
I know.
When he just does the turn.
He says, Poverty could be ... a duchess of deception and a mistress of murder. Sir. Those are the kind, can you use that kind of, when I die, can you use that kind of alliteration to describe me?
As you're being, as the casket is being lowered down.
It's like a curmudgeonly cunt.
I'll try to get the imam to actually include that in the actual prayer.
The prayer.
Yeah.
Rough stuff. I love him. It was so good. I was really just tickled by it. Yeah, and then, Parvati is banished. What I think is really funny is whenever there's a banishment happening, they always like pan the camera on everybody who's like writing. And it always goes to Shireen. Shireen always looks like, like she's really thinking so hard. I'm like, mama.
Sheree was amazing in the cabin too.
She screamed out. Oh, that's so good. Now CT does give a vote to Parvati, and before he says it, he does it. He goes, "I'm not gonna vote out somebody who lit my candle." Excuse me. Or he's like, "Lit my torch."
Lit my torch.
Oh, so hot. Anyway, and then it's just Phaedra by herself, and she gets the option to recruit a person, and whoever she recruits, they're either going to be recruited or they're going to die. She picks Kate Chastain.
And no better choice in the world.
Yeah. Amazing. Because you know if it was Parvati, she would have probably been like, all right, Peter. I'm gonna ask Peter. Yeah. It needs to be them too. So it's going to be those two. And then if you were them, who would you start to vote out? I have a strategy.
Oh, I don't. Actually, I don't know. So, you know, you want to look at the big structure at like that core group or whatever. So it's Peter or Trishel, right? I think if I'm Phaedra, maybe I get rid of Trishel. But then Trishel's made a lot of noise. She has made a lot of noise about it being Phaedra. So maybe you just get rid of Peter and then there's no leadership anymore.
You know what I would do? Because now they've sowed a little bit because Phaedra was like, hey, let's not forget that you guys were in the armory and you guys were going to be talking, you and Parvati. And Peter's like, oh, I was just joking. Okay. And then so she's already kind of dropped that little worm into people's minds. What I would do is I would actually start picking off my own people. If I was Kate and Phaedra, I'd be like, let's get rid of MJ. Let's get rid of Sandra. Now, I love Sandra because she knows simple math. But,
bowling, I know. Billiards balls.
Billiards. Simple math.
Lines them up.
There's more of them. There's less of them than there are of us.
There are more red balls here than there are white balls. Ipso facto, bingo, bingo.
So I would just start picking off my own people. I would be like, okay, because then they're going to be like, oh, they wouldn't have, you know, killed so-and-so and all that stuff. So
You know, I
because the thought... because here's the thing. At the end of the day, if Phaedra and Kate make it to the end, they get all the money. So if they're going to take money from anyone, they want to take money from Peter and Trishel. Like, they want to shit in their face, not their friends, you know?
My only thing is, like, can you survive the round table? Like, Phaedra right now is the next person up at the round table, right? There's no reason why they wouldn't vote for her. So that's what I'd be worried about. Also, you know, just hearing you say it, just the thought of losing MJ just makes me really sad. Another incredible outfit this week. The little pink dress. It was so, I was like, God damn it. I love you so much. Also, like, she's the first person to haggis out of there.
Yeah.
But before she says it, she's like, you know, I am an amazing woman, but I will not stand for this.
I'm like, yeah, same. Of course. Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, love her. Yeah. So that would be, I know you, maybe not MJ. Maybe they get rid of, but I think if they got rid of Sandra, because Sandra's so smart.
Yeah.
I think if they got rid of Sandra, then that would really, that would be like, oh, wow, maybe it is Peter. Because Peter and Sandra are obviously not,
they're not the same team.
They're not on the same team. So
it's now it's the faithful and the leftovers, right?
The faithfuls, but the faithful, most faithful of the faithful versus the leftovers. And the leftovers, we have CT, Sheree. And Sandra, MJ. That's it, right? On that side? And then the CT. Other side. CT, Sheree, Sandra, and MJ. And then you have fucking Peter, John, Kevin, and Trishelle.
Yeah.
Ugh. What I would I would much rather watch Kevin and Trishelle and John and all of them fight with each other than than the rest of them, you know?
I think I would have started off as one of the, like, the faithful of the faithful, right? Because I think I think I do well in those types of environments.
Yeah.
With lots of white people. I can just talk to them about sports for a little bit. but secretly, the leftovers is the more fun group. That is a group that you want to hang out with.
Well, also because you are the kind of person that if you saw the way Peter keeps, like, shooing people out of the room, you would be like, I don't want to be a part of this.
I get annoyed with it. Also, no Bergie, fuck off.
No.
You know.
Unfortunately, me, I thrive in those situations where somebody's like, no, you, like, if I was part of Peter's crew and Peter was shushing people out of the room, I'd be like, that's right, Peter.
It's not true at all. You'd be annoyed with him right away.
I know. I would hate it. Unless I was the person doing the shooing. I would shoo.
You would shoo. Oh, boy, yeah. You would, be hated. You would be hated.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, that's it for traitors. Any other thoughts? Are you excited?
Do you think, obviously, Kate's going to accept it, right?
Kate of course.
Get together.
Of course. That'd of course. Awesome. They're going to just start picking people off. It's going to be great.
Exactly. And now I'm rooting for the traitors. 100%.
Exactly.
It's going to be close. I wish that they can bring the rest of the leftovers into their group somehow. But I don't think they can.
No, they can't. That's the point of the show.
That's true.
Like, you guys all want to be traitors with us? Like, I wonder if you could rig the game and just be like, there's only like $50,000 here, guys. Like, we could just split it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's fine. Anyway, everybody is telling me that I should watch Traitors Australia and Traitors UK. So apparently Traitors UK is going to be on Peacock after this Traitors finishes.
The cock.
The cock is going to bring that one over. Arthie was like, the funniest thing about, like, UK Traitors is also set in the same castle because it's Scotland. Australia Traitors is just like in a regular, like, business building. Like, it's not even...
Didn't even try. This is a business park.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. What a show. I love it. Well, Rahil, are you excited for your face to be revealed to the internet?
I'm very, very not excited about this.
Well.
Can you put a smiley face on me?
Yeah, I'm going to put a smiley face on you the whole time. What if I edit all of the content with, like, just like emojis of you, like, saying stuff? And, like, when you say, when you talk about CT, it'll just be like an eggplant for the giant boner you have for him.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for listening. I'll be back this week with a bunch of people to talk about Bravo stuff. It's Bravo's Bravoing.
There you go. That's exciting.
Yuck.
You really sold it.
Yeah, I know.